This is the Tantalk Radio Network. 1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about Frisco?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon and welcome to On the Tee, Florida. One pro and a hack brought to you by the Ice Pick Vodka and of course, Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We're on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and Florida Sports Streams on this April 4th, 2024. Also in the house is St. Petersburg's most interesting man, Tom Gribben. Haven't seen you for a while in the studio, my friend. We missed you.
I've been out running around, but I'm here today.
Well, yeah, you had great family time. Of course, he is an accomplished author, promoter, attorney, musician. I could go on, and that's Tom Gribben, and we're looking forward to 2 hours of conversation. Bill Buttner, who's our resident pro down here in St. Pete, it's the last Wine and Nine. The ladies needed him again over at St. Pete Country Club, where he's been for 22 years, and he'll be back in the house. Not next week. He'll be calling in live from the Masters, and we're looking forward to that conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he'll be up there.
Is he getting us a hat?
I already got an order in for 4, and I got one earmarked for you, my friend. So we're on the swag side of things, we're covered. I don't think he can bring back any pimento sandwiches, but we can handle that on our own. And then, of course, John Rager up there at St. Augustine Beach. He is the he's the cornerstone of this show each and every week, and he also does a superb job in the world of our marketing and our Facebook, our social media, and, of course, an accomplished PGA of America teaching pro in his own right, and that is our own John Rager. What's going on, brother?
Back on the air this week. What a scene it was last week at Ferg's. For our listeners out there, we had to skip a week and run a best of, and we did our broadcast from the Valspar Championship. We had a great show there. But, man, I tell you what, I wasn't able to come down for opening day, but I can tell you that the pictures I saw and then listening to your baseball show in the afternoon, it was quite a spectacular thing. But now we're back in action, and, yeah, we have a lot of golf to talk about today, but also our thoughts and mind is set on next week at Augusta National, and not only will we have a report from Bill Buttner from Augusta National, I've lined up one of my former college players who is the last 24 years has been a rep for Cleveland Golf on the PGA Tour. He takes care of all the PGA Tour players. He goes to every tournament. He works for Cleveland Golf, and he's going to be there at the Masters also. And he's not going to be there live on that Thursday, but he'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll catch him on the way back and get his thoughts on it. So I'm pretty excited about the Masters next week, and been breaking out all my Masters memorabilia, getting ready to put the Masters flag out in the front yard, and going through all my stuff, getting my green cup ready, learning how to make pimento cheese sandwiches. So we're all excited and ready to go. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, John. I'm putting the Masters flags in my putting green in my backyard. Get that Masters flag out there and hold number one.
Hey, your putting greens had a lot of use this past week.
Yes, it did.
With the grandsons in town. That's a great entertainment option. You probably didn't need to really take him anywhere besides you did take him to the game, but that probably was a great, not distraction, attraction to come to Papa's or Grandpa, whatever you call you.
He was out on that thing 3 or 4 times a day. And whether we went to the beach or with opening day for the Rays, and John, it was a madhouse here. It was just as well you missed it because it was packed.
It was so crazy.
I couldn't even find Mike in his table.
He walked by me twice, and so did Joe Bordeaux, who's on the controls for RadioSt.Pete.com. We're sitting there, right in the midst of it all, but it was such an enormous amount of traffic and excitement and energy that they blew right by us. But anyway.
But I felt really good for Ferg, John. It was really a great showing. and a good start of the new year, and can't wait for the new stadium. And I can't wait. I guess later on in the show, you might give me your favorites for the Masters this week.
I think, well, I'll be doing that this week, of course. Looking forward to Tiger Woods announced, you know, he is in the field. It is his 26th time. He'll be teeing it up. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. Tom and I read an
article. Oh, he's giving up loving.
Yeah, yeah. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. We're efforting, of course, right now we're efforting Ward Clayton. He'll join us. He is, of course, the man in control of the Masters website. He's also an author. We're going to talk to him about his upcoming, well, his book's already out, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National, Inside Stories from Golf's Greatest Stage. And then since it's the Valero Texas Open, we're going to talk to our favorite trick shot artist, and that is Michael Furs. He'll be calling in from Dallas, West Dallas, and we'll talk a little bit of his involvement in the first tee. Of course, it's kind of the Lone Star State's time to shine. We had the Houston last week, and that was a great tournament. Scotty Scheffler just about had the trifecta, John, on wins. I can't believe he missed that 4-foot putt, but he was the eminent favorite by far for this 2024 Masters.
Yeah, I mean, he had a bad week and almost won the tournament, and it was surprising that he missed that 4-foot putt. I was rooting for Alexandro Costi. He's from Gainesville, Florida. Not from Gainesville, Florida, obviously. He's from Argentina, but what he did was he attended and played on the University of Florida golf team. And I had the opportunity while he was in college, somebody lined me up to go play golf with him and, you know, just to kind of help him out a little bit, you know, give him some advice. And I took one look at him after he hit the first shot and I could realize that there's nothing I could possibly tell him that's going to help him out at all other than maybe some life experiences. You know how you get life experiences, you get experience by making mistakes. So evidently he was a wild child in college, so you know, my goal was to calm him down a little bit and get him to focus a little bit more on what's going to happen down the road in the future. 7 years later, here he is and almost won the tournament, and so I was real proud of him. So it was great to watch that tournament on TV last week. And Steven Yeager,
but he's on a tight schedule, and he is Ward Clayton. He's up there in Augusta.
Oh, great.
And he's kind enough to take a few moments for us. How are you, my friend? I know you're just going to the wall, as they say, with activities and preparation for next week. And of course, they've got a lot of activity up there this week with the women's amateur taking place up in Augusta. So, how are you? And are you getting any sleep?
Getting enough sleep, yes, sir. I hope you guys are doing well. I hear you, John, talking about pimento cheese sandwiches earlier. If I can share a story, about 5 years ago, I spoke to a group in Augusta of attorneys who were here as a reward for their good year, and there was one attorney in particular who'd never been to Augusta before, and the people in his firm were giving him untold grief. Oh, you're going to the Masters, we've got to work, yada, yada, yada. So the first thing he did when he got to Augusta, he went into the concession stand, got a pimento cheese sandwich, went to the UPS place, put a note on there, overnighted it back to his law firm office with the note, "Wish you were here."
Classic. So, I like that. Well, 22. How many years have you been affiliated with the Masters, going back to your days as the, of course, the sports editor there in Augusta? Are we looking at 3 decades? 4?
The 40th consecutive Masters I've attended. It goes back to the infamous Masters in 1985 when Bernhard Langer wore all red. And then he got the green jacket, and it looked like it was Christmas. So,
it was Christmas in his household.
That's right. That's right. So it was. I've been every year since 1985. So it's like going. It's truly like going on a religious a trip or whatever when you come to Augusta for golfers.
Well, I'm going to let John introduce you as he does properly, like you're on the first tee at Augusta with your bio. And then he shames me after we get off the air that I don't do that. But I can't duplicate the quality he does. So, John, why don't you introduce Ward Clayton again to our audience? This will be his third time on the Tee Florida.
Oh, boy, you just put me on the spot. So here we go. Well, first of all, we have to introduce him just like the starter does at Augusta National. And there's not a whole lot of flim flam and this, that, and the other. So here's how we're going to do it for on the Tee Florida. This is how they do it on the first tee at Augusta, minus the sirens that are winging by here. You don't hear many sirens out there. You know, at least the TV cancels that out and puts bird noise in. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Ward Clayton now driving.
Is that how simple like it that. Is?
Yeah, actually, they say, John, they say, four, please, John Rieger now driving.
That's right. Four, please. You know what? I just couldn't remember it totally because, you know, my broadcast partner puts me on the spot all the time. I would have been practicing all week if I'd known that I had to introduce you as a starter coming from the Masters. Hey, Ward, you know, one of the things about the Masters is they're just so innovative. It's so amazing that every year there's, especially with the app and especially with the website and all the different innovations that have come through, what do you think is probably in your time there at the Masters as far as running a golf tournament, as far as the tournament itself, is the biggest innovation that you've seen?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot. I will say from the Masters.com perspective, the coolest thing we do is you can watch anybody in the field play their rounds. So if there's an amateur, like the mid-amateur champion or something like that, who's probably not going to be in contention, but he's your brother or your husband or something like that, you can watch every round, every shot he plays. And I think that's the coolest thing. It's not on broadcast TV, but from Masters.com, you can actually experience that.
Well, yeah, that's pretty amazing. I remember too is now this innovation may have been late '60s at least or so, but I guess was the Masters responsible for the changing of how they keep score on the scoreboard under par versus the actual strokes they've taken to that point?
Exactly. There's a great story behind that because the red figures are under par and the green figures are over par. And Jack Nicklaus's eyesight he's got some challenges with color coordination, and he was coming up the final hole in the 60s and looked at the scoreboard, and there were a lot of ones up on the scoreboard, but he couldn't figure out if they were green or red. And so he asked Willie Peterson, his caddy, coming up 18, he said, "Willie, how many of those numbers up there are red?" And Willie said, "Just you, boss, just you." So there's every indication that Augusta did that. They roped the golf course, which hadn't been done. And the only people that, if you'll notice a PGA Tour event, you'll have scores, you'll have some media and so forth like that. But Augusta, the only people that are inside the ropes are the players and their caddies.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the things too, people ask me for advice for their first time viewing as a patron going to the Masters, and you know, a lot of times it's practice rounds with they go, and I tell them, I said, listen, it's if you got to walk all the way down to Amen Corner, but you may want to save some energy because it's very hilly and it's a long haul back up that hill. People don't realize on television if you're there live and you look around, it's amazing how anybody can two-putt a green. These things are so undulated and there's so many slopes, and it is truly amazing.
I'll give you another place that isn't as notable. It's behind the seventh green, because if you stand behind the seventh green, you can see the second hole. The third hole, you can see the seventh hole coming back at you, and then the eighth tee is right over your shoulder, and right behind you is 17, and there's a scoreboard right above your head. So you could have a day. And plus, there's a concession area over on the other side of 8 where you can get a cold beverage and a pimento cheese or egg salad sandwich. So you got it made the shade right there.
So that's a primo spot that they have to not run to. A fast gate to get there. What kind of penalty is there if you started sprinting to that spot?
Um, I didn't. If you start sprinting, you're probably not seen on the grounds anymore. That's probably the penalty.
I wonder how many poor fools have done that in the past.
Oh, I'm sure people are running. They tell you not to run. If you do it, if you're a repeated offender, that's a different story. But it's all into the situation where you're trying to create decorum amongst the gallery, so you're not running all over the place. Somebody doesn't slip and fall and get hurt, or you don't disrupt play if you're running. All this kind of stuff is something that Bobby Jones really accentuated when he started the tournament.
Hey, Ward, let's shift gears a little bit here, because we know we have limited time with you since you're getting ready for the Masters next week. For our listeners out there, Ward is the author of the legendary Caddies of Augusta National, Inside Stories from Golf's Greatest Stage. And it's a wonderful book, and it's a relevant book, because as we're talking about all the innovations at Augusta National, one of the things that they're probably known the best for when it comes to pure golf and the champions are the African American caddies that all their lives have worked at Augusta National, and some of them become quite famous. And it's something that seems to be a dying breed at this point, where they're being replaced now by tour caddies, but there are some colorful characters out there. So, Ward, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book and some of the colorful characters that that you wrote about?
Thanks, John. 40 years ago, Augusta National, well, actually 41 years ago, Augusta National allowed outside caddies to come work in the Masters. And from its inception, the tournament's inception in 1934 until 1982, the caddy corps at Augusta was all black, the majority of them coming from a neighborhood adjacent to Augusta National. And they, in my opinion, are the greatest caddy corps in the history of the game, just because of their knowledge of the golf course. And every year you would see Iron Man for Arnold Palmer, you would see Willie Peterson with Jack Nicklaus. And those guys became household names. And since then, the money that tour players make has accelerated unbelievably, and the money that caddies get as a result of that done the same. So it was only right that each player should be able to bring his own caddy. I don't have any qualms with that. But the contribution these guys made to the game, not only at Augusta National, but sort of setting the bar for caddies, how you read a player, how you do yardage, how you read greens, how you handle yourself. They're wearing the tuxedo of caddies with that white jumpsuit. They set the bar really, really high for how you caddy. And no better place to show that than Augusta National. So,
hey, one of the entertaining things about the book and a read is some of the nicknames for these caddies: Stovepipe, Burnt Biscuits, Skillet, Skinny, Marble Eye, and maybe my favorite, Willie Cemetery Pertrete.
Willie Cemetery Pertrete was a caddy for President Eisenhower. He got his nickname early on was Dead Man. And Eisenhower thought that was too blunt, so he changed it to Cemetery. And how he got his nickname was, he was a jazz drummer at a club in Augusta, and he took a liking to a young lady, and a few months later, he decided he didn't want to pursue that relationship any further. And so one night he was drumming at this particular club, and the young lady was offended and got some of her friends. And they went and met him when he was coming out of the club late that night, and took after him with some knives. And they thought they rushed him to the hospital, and he must have had too much ether or something when they were operating on him. And they made the presumption that he had passed, so they sent him to the morgue. And he was in the morgue, and the mortician's down there working and was doing some work in the quiet place there. And all of a sudden, he awoke and scared him half to death. So therefore, he got the nickname Dead Man of the Cemetery.
You can't make those kind of stories up, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. So it's that was the original reason I wanted to do this book, because I read some of these great nicknames, But I didn't know the name of the caddy, you know, Willie Pertheat. I didn't know that was Cemetery. And if I was to go around and say Willie Pertheat, half the golf world would have a clue as to what I was talking about. When you say Cemetery, but it was important in my mind to tell who these guys were, what they did. He's a drummer, you know, and all this stuff. And he worked for Eisenhower. I think that was particularly important to bring to life who the person really was.
You're listening on the Tee, Florida. We're live from the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by our good friends at Michelob Ultra. They sponsor all of our leagues and our simulators up here and our traveling events, and we're going to have some events here for the majors as well, including next weekend down here at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Ward Clayton is kind enough to take some time out of his busy schedule. His book is The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National, and I bet it was actually... just, you know, we've got another author in the house, and that's Tom Gribben, and I'm certain that the work and the enjoyment of getting these stories extracted out of these guys or the people that knew about them was certainly entertaining for someone like yourself who played college golf at North Carolina. We won't hold that against you, and that Bill Butner was your teammate. he dogged you again today for women over at St. Pete Country Club for the old wine and nine, their last ones, and they have to have their Billy there, you know. So, I'm certain this was a labor of love above all things.
No doubt. I think the real interest here is telling their stories going forward, and people understand not only the job they did as caddies, but some of the barriers they had to get through in the civil rights movement's time just to get to their workplace. And I think they went a long way to really prove the fact that they were a great unit. You know, one guy's a great green reader. Another guy's a great yardage guy. Another guy really reads the player and understands how to interact with him. So they all had different strong suits, but that worked out.
You know, I grew up in that era, and I remember, you know, I'm going to get this book, Mike, because this is really interesting to me, because I grew up in that era, and this is going to be nice. I'm really glad that he got on the show, because it's a very interesting topic.
He's a very interesting man. He's got stories all day long, and he extracted a lot of your work when you were with the paper there as the sports editor. How many years were you there as a sports editor, Ward?
I was here for 10 years, from 91 till 2000. Tiger Woods came on the scene in 95 as his first Masters, so I was here when Tiger was just starting to play in the Masters.
Nice.
Hey, we got to see the headline in the New York Post
too.
Today?
We got to brag on Ward a little bit, too, about this, because you know, I've been to the Masters numerous times, and one of the things that he was known for up there was how well the Augusta Chronicle and how well he did in covering the Masters. When I'd go up there, the Masters, I'd get a copy of the paper, because everything I needed to know and wanted to do and wanted to keep up with was in that paper that week. So with kudos to you, Ward, for that. Hey, Ward, where do you buy this book? Where should we tell our listeners to go get this book, especially Tom? He needs to know where to buy it.
I'm presuming on Amazon. Yeah. Is that correct, Ward?
Well, it's a similar method, Tom. I would suggest you go to Blair Pub, BlairPub.com. That's the publisher, Blair, okay. Blair Publisher. In this world where we order everything online, that's the way to go. Or go to your local independent bookseller. They should have it, too. So that's the way I suggest, because from the comfort of your home, you can order the book right now, and it'll be there in a couple of days. So.
No, but I did more business on Amazon than all the other methods combined, bookstores, direct websites. Yep. I did, and Amazon, just if your publisher can get it out on Amazon, Ward, I would really suggest it. It sells all over the world, and the money goes directly into your account, no matter what country.
There's the key.
They convert it from Deutschmarks to dollars, and it goes directly into the account, and you get a full accounting. I'm telling you.
Yep. Perfect.
I was a big believer of that. But I'm going to get it, Ward, because this is a very interesting topic, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you doing that. Since you guys are in Tampa, St. Pete, you'll be interested in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, because through 36 holes, a Seminole's leading.
Oh, yeah.
Leading at five under. And then right behind her at three under is Macy filler, and she's a gator.
Oh yeah!
So we got a little gator seminal battle on the women's golf scene, huh?
I love that.
Exactly. So their schedule tomorrow, the entire field will come to Augusta National and play a practice round. That's really a cool perk of this event. And then nice. The top 30 and ties who made the cut will play the final round live on NBC on Saturday.
So we're understanding if you miss the cut today, you still get to come play a practice round?
Exactly. Everybody.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. So even if you miss the cut, you still get to play.
What a perk.
Hey, you know, Ward, for our listeners out there, because that's going on right now, and they may not understand how significant of a tournament this is, why don't you give a quick overview of this golf tournament and how we can get involved and watch it?
Sure. It's the top women's amateur golfers in the world. A lot of them are college golfers from the U.S. Started 5 years ago when Jennifer Kupcho, who's now has won on the LPGA multiple times, was at Wake Forest at the time. I think she played the last back nine, like 5 under over the last 6 holes or something like that to win the first tournament in 2019. So they come play at a golf course called Champions Retreat, which is near Augusta National. They play the first 36 holes there Wednesday, Thursday, practice round at Augusta National tomorrow, Friday, and then Saturday's the final round. And so it's really cool to watch a different play at Augusta National. They play it probably at 6,300 to 6,500 yards. So you get a real sense for where most of us play golf from is about that yardage or less. So you get a real sense for how these young ladies attack Augusta National. You know, they really have to think to themselves, especially on the back nine par fives, am I going to go for it in two over the water hazard or not? So I think it's particularly intriguing. The Golf Channel showed the first 2 rounds, and NBC will do Saturday. And you'll see Augusta National caddies will be working for some of these ladies. They'll go with their own caddies sometimes at Champions Retreat the first 2 rounds, and then once they go to Augusta National, dad or brother or boyfriend or whatever like that, he's off the bag, and they got an Augusta National caddy working for them in the final round.
That's even cooler. I mean, it adds to the allure of the opportunity to play on that majestic track. I've been watching it the first couple of days. I've turned into nothing but a golf geek. If it's on the Golf Channel, I'm watching it. But this is really...
Well, you know, Ward, there is a lot of great family stories. And in fact, I had, as a PGA golf professional, I had interest in following Annabelle Pancake. And I know that she just missed the cut by just a shot or two, but her dad is Tony Pancake, who is the director of golf at Cricket Stick, but also he's PGA Golf Professional of the Year, which is a high honor in our association. And it's just really interesting to see, that not only do you have the best women amateurs in the world playing there, but you also have friends and it's family and it's a lot of things that go into that. And what a special time, not only for the Augusta Women's Amateur, but also the drive, chip, and putt that's coming up Sunday. So, what another great innovation by Augusta National, the Masters, and everybody involved to get friends and family and put a light on this tournament. It's not just the elite golfers in the world of the men, but it's actually all golfers. If you love the game of golf, you got to love these events and the Masters coming up next week.
And the par three, also another factor that's implemented that early on was the family integration into the game prior to the pressures of the next day of teeing off.
I agree, no doubt. I thank you guys for having me on here. And I tell you what I'm going to do. When I see Butner here, this coming week, I'm going to suggest he follow the attorney's lead I talked about in the lead and send you guys pimento cheese sandwiches overnight to your studio. How about that?
That'd be great.
Hey, don't put too much on him. He's got a swag order in from me, and I don't want him screwing that one up for a pimento sandwich, but I appreciate you taking time, as always, to join us. My condolences do go out to you, though. you and Bill Buettner and the entire Tar Heel Nation that that you are not in the Final Four. I know you had that stamped this year, but unfortunately, they'll live to play another year, Ward.
I'm a Wolfpack fan this weekend, fellas.
Oh, yeah, everybody's on that bandwagon. But it's a great story, right. And it brings back the memories of Jimmy V. And, that's a great story to follow. All right, my friend. Thanks again for taking time to join us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the day. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Ward.
Take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll talk to Michael first. He's down there where the Valero, Texas Open is taking place. Bobby Van Sweden's in the house. These two, Tom Gribben and Bobby, can talk about life on the road in the music world. I bet there's some interesting stories between the two of you. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections on the tee, Florida, live from Ferg's in our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. John Rager up there in St. Augustine Beach. Bob Van Sweeten across from me and Tom Gribben, St. Petersburg's most interesting man. And, of course, Kerry McNally, the Emmy Award-winning videographer and comedian. He's got the week off. Patty Suzette, not week off, they're all working. Patty Suzette is working, our cart girl, the lovely Patty Suzette. And, of course, Bill Buettner's over at St. Pete Country Club taking care of the ladies for the Wine and Nine.
And, wine is not the drink.
No.
It's the Wine and Nine.
Yeah, it's W-H-I-N-E. Now, he doesn't whine about it. He revels in it. I've talked to the pro the other day about Bill's, let's just say, greenside demeanor. He's quite the character.
Oh, he hangs around till the last lady leaves.
Oh, you bet he does. Yeah, he milks it, and I know you guys are good friends, and he's a dandy. And this guy's a friend of the program. He's been coming on since, geez, Louise, when I was just a two-microphone podcast out front. Michael Furz. I don't even remember how we ended up getting introduced, but it was superb. And I think it was one of the military guys introduced us. But he's Michael Furz. He's a PGA of America teaching pro in Dallas, Texas. He was a tennis pro. And then he evolved into being the preeminent trick shot artist with, what do you got now, six? I think it's six Guinness Book World Records for your long shafts and long drives. He's Michael Furz. How are you, brother?
I'm good, Mike. How are you guys doing? Hello to all the Floridians out there.
Hey, Michael, wait a second. We have to introduce you properly.
Oh, yeah.
Since Masters Week is coming up, we're going to introduce you Master style. And I was just corrected on how I introduced somebody that actually works for Augusta National. So here we go, our previous guest, Michael Ward Clayton there, who wrote the wonderful book here. So here we go, everybody. Ready? Four, please. Michael Furr, now driving.
It's that quick? That's short and simple?
I thought that's the city that he's from as well, doesn't he?
That's all they do. That's all they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's all that's needed. Because, you know, if you start introducing Michael Furr in a golf tournament, you know, you're going to have like 17 different things in world records you have to mention before you get to hit the ball. You're going to be holding up play.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mother of Dragons and all those titles. Yeah, I get it.
So I actually have been on a property at Augusta, and I actually would try to get on the caddy list. What is the very first thing a caddy has to do before they sign in on the list?
You tell us, brother.
Blowing the breathalyzer.
Seriously? That knocks out our radio crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no kidding. You have to blow in the breathalyzer and pass the breathalyzer before you can sign on the list.
Oh, Lord. Don't do that to Bill Butner when he comes through.
No. So this is the last couple, this week and last week is the opportunity for the Lone Star State to shine. You've had the Houston tournament last week and a great field. And Scotty Scheffler just about got the trifecta if he hadn't missed that 4-foot putt. But, you know, it would have been the players and then of course, the Arnold Palmer and then he would have won the Houston, but he's on a roll as it is. But now you've got the Valero Texas, Open, one of my favorites. Yeah. Because, in 2008, 2009, Zach Johnson, who actually sitting at 2-under right now, Zachy won that back to back. And, so it's been one of my favorites being a friend of his and an Iowan.
Dude. And that was a long, long golf course for Zach Johnson to win on. That was, you know, the Oaks course, that thing's like 7,500 yards. And in Texas, when the wind blows and it's wet, dude, it's long. Man. So, you know, when Zach won the Masters, he never went for any of the par fives and two. He laid up on every one, and he birdied every one.
Well, that's why his game was perfect for the Open that he won as well. As well as the Masters, you know. As they say in your world, you pros, you know, courses for horses for courses, and he certainly fits that. Be nice if he hung around on the leaderboard. You know, not a whole lot expected out of him anymore at 48 years of age, but always fun to watch him and follow him.
Hey, Michael, we got a golfer from our listening area here, Tyson Alexander. His dad was the famous golf coach at University of Florida, won a couple national championships, and Tyson now has been on the tour a couple years, and Tyson stepped on the gas today at the Valero Texas Open, and he's tied for second place at 4-under par.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was wondering who that cat was. I thought it was a bunch of no-names. You got Rory sitting back at 2-under, and then you got Max Homa. But I wondered who the Alexander kid was.
If you win this tournament, do you get like a free tank of gas for like 5 years or something like that every week?
That TPC San Antonio is one fabulous place, man. I love performing there.
So hey, for our listeners out there, you may not understand who Michael is. I know he's been here. He's been on the show quite a bit. But for our listeners out there, did you know? Now, this is right off of Michael's Facebook page, which is actually quite a hoot. I enjoyed one of the social media posts you had this week of this giant driver on the back of a some sort of truck and everything. But for listeners out there, Michael's raised almost $800,000 for local charities down there. And, of course, his moniker is, I love breaking world records. Very interesting guy. But, Michael, are you trying to take that oversized driver on the back of a semi and hit it?
You know, I love the comical post that John Deere put out, using a backhoe with a putter on it or a driver. You know, it's always keeping the idea of what is the next newest, biggest driver. So I saw that actually come from the PGA Super Show in Florida. Somebody was taking home one of the little items from the show, and they put it in the back of their truck. So I stole that photo.
I thought it was you. I thought you were driving down the road making off with one of the props from the PJ show.
It's just making food for thought. Like, I swing the world's longest golf club, which is the size of a four-story building, and currently it's going to go up to 57 feet, and then the next record will be 61 feet. So we've been approved by Guinness World Records to do so, and we're just waiting for our opportunity to do it.
You'll need an elevator to hit a club that long.
Man, I tell you what, one of them cherry pickers is not quite big enough.
So you'll have to name that club the Skyscraper.
Man, we don't know. We should let the kids of the first tee name it, because on that 51-foot driver, we have the 9 core values of the first tee. Because I tell all of our kids in Tarrant County, we have 50,000 first tee kids in Tarrant County. If I'm going to break this record, I also have to follow those 9 core values that I ask you to follow. And that would be responsibility, respect, courtesy, honesty, confidence, perseverance, judgment, integrity, and the last one, which is sportsmanship. So, you know,
call it the Spalding Award.
Well, you know, Michael, that actually is so cool. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the first tee. I was an executive director for a while for a first tee chapter, and I can tell you that, you know, these aren't just words. These are things and values that you expose the kids to, and it's really satisfying now to see a lot of these kids, because the first tee's been around long enough now, over 20 years or so, that you have the kids that grew up in the first tee program coming back as alumni and helping out and mentoring the younger kids.
So the executive director in Fort Worth, he was a lead coach and a PGA professional. He was a PGA professional for Colonial Country Club. He left and got offered a big opportunity in the corporate world, and then he gained all that experience. Now he's the executive director back with the first tee. So all those things that they helped teach him, he's brought them back home. So that's really cool. Really cool.
That is really cool. So, Michael, what's your next endeavor coming up here? What do you got coming up?
Well, you know, the senior tour event at Las Colinas Country Club has all the celebrities, and they've been teasing, and it's all talk. Me and Alfonso Ribeiro going against Anthony Anderson and my old partner at Las Colinas. They're having a hard time getting the celebrities to commit the off time. So,
I thought that he was talking smack about you, and I'm sure that that drives the eyeballs and the interest and the content. But
I thought he'd been talking a little
smack about our buddy there in Dallas.
We have been. We've been talking smack to each other for going on almost 5 years now. So eventually the smack talk has to stop, and we have to put the action to the stone, you know. So whether they do it or not and participate, we have been approved to do the next 2 world records, and we're ready to do 57 feet just like we did before. And then we've saved 4 more feet for the celebrities if they think they want to join in on the bandwagon.
Well, why don't you bring your traveling roadshow here to Florida between John Rager and Tom Gribben and the connections they have, and of course Bill Buttner. We can find a track for you to set up, and maybe we make it a fundraiser with the first tee of St. Pete, who are good friends of ours. Rick and the gang over there would love that. Why don't you bring that traveling roadshow over here? I've got a...
We can hit it from the roof. Top of Ferg's, and hit it over to Tropicana Field.
Trust me, Michael. If you put a plan together to get over here, we'll be able to facilitate it. And I got a quaint little hotel down by the water that John loves staying at.
And we'll get all the press out here. I mean, we'll get a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and the good news is, too, we'll have the police on our side, because the police station is literally right across the street from Ferg. So, we'll get the local one involved because this can get out of hand.
Because you guys got the Tampa Bay Stadium across the street, you got to have the police station really close to facilitate those guys.
Yeah, we got Tropicana Field, and we got a hell of a parking lot. You can get a lot of run on that drive.
Yeah, it'll roll forever.
My very next show is on behalf of the Fort Worth Police Department with an organization called Brotherhood for the Fallen. So when they have fallen officers in the state of Texas from other agencies, these guys are willing to pitch in and help out the families, a little bit like Guns and Hoses. when a police officer or a firefighter dies in the line of duty, the very next day they're on the doorstep of the widow with a $50,000 check, because it takes forever for the paperwork to come through. So that $50,000 helps get you through.
That's fantastic. Well,
I know you've made a commitment to first responders, military, throughout all of the shenanigans that you've come up with, and made certain that they had an impact when you went out to their fundraisers. And I'm in all sincerity, you know, on the air here, we need to figure out how to get you over to one of our events. We have an event May 23rd, and that's for 100 legs, and that's through our sponsor, Ice Pick Vodka and Sea Dogs Brewery. That's at Seminole Country Club. Maybe John Rager, we could get him to that event for some kind of activity.
So I have an entire trick shot set of equipment that stays up in New York with Jack Doc Bodolowski with a Warrior Companion. So we don't want to transport the stuff back and forth from Dallas. So we actually have a set of equipment on the East Coast for easy access, just for reasons like this.
Well, we do have an airport here that you can ship it to, and I can pick it up, or I pick you up and we pick it up. Let's talk about that off air. I think that'd be a nice asset for that tournament. We're going to have Patty the Cart Girl out there. I've got two golf carts that we're going to put on the par threes for hole-in-one opportunities, and make this Sea Dogs Ice Pick event. We'll get you out there, Bobby, giving some tips on club fitting as well.
Sure. Yeah, hey, question for you, Michael.
I'll bring out my baseball helmet out of retirement and hit balls off people's heads. That's a lot of fun.
Well,
that's fantastic.
That's some dangerous
Michael,
work, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, there's all over YouTube is where you can find, because I've watched a lot of the videos out there. What's the best way to find you out there on YouTube for our listeners out there to go click and watch some of this stuff?
I pretty much have four categories on Google. I feel I have about 80 pages of Google. So once you type in Michael Furr, F-U-R-R-H, you'll see all four categories pop up. Michael Furr, Michael Furr World Record, Michael Furr Golf, Michael Furr Wacko. You know, there's a bunch of them out there. So, if you go to images and videos, there's a lot of cool content. Lots of really good stories written over the last 14 years worldwide. Don't read the Russian stuff. It might not be true.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, this is great, Michael.
Oh, yeah. He's a classic. Hey, what was that cat's name that was in Blazing Saddles that we had on your buddy?
Burton Gillian.
It escapes me right now, my age deficit disorder. What was his name?
Burton Gillian.
That was a great interview, man. That guy was in a lot more flicks and television shows than I had thought originally. And when I called him to set up the interview, we talked for 45 minutes. Just an engaging guy, because he knew my love of the sweet science boxing. We talked boxing for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's right. You were a boxer too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, 100 years ago. I got a face to prove it and the hands for it. But he interesting man.
He has a lot of cool stories, and he knows how to tell the stories because he's been doing them for such a long time. He and I are exactly 30 years apart, but he is one of my best friends in the world.
What's he, 85 and you're 55?
Yes, sir. He is 85, born August 9th.
Damn, he's in great shape for 85.
Dude, that guy knocked out a 45-year-old firefighter when he was 60 years old in an exhibition boxing match. Like,
my man.
Well, now we're seeing Mike Tyson come up in his advanced age.
Oh, Mike Tyson is going to clean that guy's clock, man.
Well, that's kind of how I look at you and Anthony Anderson. When are you going to get it done? You guys got to quit talking smack and, you know.
I'm going to make an appearance out at the PGA Champions Tour event and actually look at Anthony Anderson eye to eye and talk to him and say, hey, look, man, this is supposed to be fun for charity. Let's go have some fun. The Discovery Channel promised $10,000 for all four of our charities. How the hell can you go wrong? I'm giving my money to the first tee of Fort Worth. Anthony Anderson's probably going to give his money to diabetes because he's newly diagnosed and struggling with it.
Yeah.
So, it's a win-win. We get a lot of exposure. It's fun. It relates to the first tee. It tells the kids just because it looks impossible doesn't mean it is. It's only impossible if you don't try.
You know
let's just make this go viral. You got to go get a little phone clip of you and he talking down there, and let's get this thing going viral. And we'll get a grassroots movement to make this happen.
I have so many celebrity friends that play in these celebrity tournaments around the country, and I'm always getting them bombarding Alfonso and Anthony. They're like, wow, man, we keep hearing about it. Kind of like Evel Knievel talking smack, calling up there to Caesar's Palace and saying, hey, that awful, knuffle guy, man. They're like, what are you talking about? You talk about it enough, and eventually it'll happen.
There we go.
Well, he's Michael Furr. He's a good friend of the program. I'll be reaching out to you next week. I want to talk more in detail. John Rager is putting the golf tournament together. I was with the owner of Sea Dogs, Nice Pick today. We talked about how we're going to make this an exciting launch and an event that continues each and every year that people want to make sure they get a foursome in and add new to the entertainment piece of it. With our entertainment group would be epic in this area. So. We'll be talking about that, brother. Who do you like in March Madness? Who's going to be cutting down the nets?
And I've had 10 teams left out of 16, and now I'm down to 2. I actually have Purdue and UConn, and I got UConn winning it all.
Well, yeah, way to go out on a limb. Hey, I was actually going to, I was pulling for your, well, I don't know if they're yours, but I was pulling for the Houston Cougars because they're in the Big 12 these days. But that was a shocker that they didn't make it.
Hey, listen, I got to pipe in real quick because my team is also the Cougars. I'm an alumni of the College of Charleston Cougars, and we made it to the big dance this year. And our earlier guest, we were talking to lamenting about how North Carolina got eliminated. Everybody was down on that, right? Well, we got over that because we were eliminated the first night by Alabama. But anyway, it was great to have our team in there, the Cougars. So us and the Houston Cougars, we were just proud to be there this year in the big dance.
Now I'm rolling with NC State.
Well, I think everybody's on that bandwagon. It's a great story. Hey, way to brag about your school, John. Hey, there's guys from Stetson that were proud of their team, and they got throttled by 55, but they got in the dance. Michael Furr, thank you very much, my man. We got a top of the hour break, and I'll talk to you next week, and we'll kick some things around. How's that sound?
I look forward to it. Thank you. Thanks, Big Mike. Thanks, Big John. And hey, all the Floridians.
One last thing. The Texan, Scotty Scheffler, does he put on his second green jacket next week?
He puts on one green jacket because if you win 10 jackets, you only got one. So he's going to put on his own jacket.
Way to call me out.
You know that, right? That's the story. Jack Nicklaus, you only get one jacket, so they keep using the same jacket. He wins. Jack Nicklaus won 6 jackets. He only got one jacket. And it's not allowed to leave property. It's not allowed to leave property unless you are the current reigning champion for one calendar year. That's the only guy allowed to wear the green jacket off property.
All right, my man. Thanks for that tip that a lot of people weren't familiar with. And so you're going with Scotty Scheffler.
I'm going with my boy String Bean is what we've called him since he was freaking 6 years old, String Bean.
All right. Well, I'm pulling for String Bean, too. All right, my man. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, boys. Y'all take care.
Bobby, appreciate you coming down. We haven't had a conversation yet, but second hour, we're going to pull you and Tom into the conversation, and we'll have a little bit of fun. Talk about your experience up at the Valspar this year. Yeah, we were up there live.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run this hour.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to have to run this hour.
All right, well, there won't be any entertainment stories. All right, we'll be back.
Oh, he'll have plenty.
Oh, he's got plenty.
The bands he's been with
us. Yeah, we'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections on the T Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance.